Welcome to Global Talk, an international affairs podcast from The National. I'm Justin Vella. This week we're discussing radicalization in Europe and France's reaction to the Charlie Hebdo massacre. On the line is Colin Randall, who writes for the newspaper from Europe and is the former Paris bureau chief of London's Daily Telegraph. Colin, you've done a number of stories for the newspaper about Europeans traveling to Iraq and also Syria to live and in some cases fight. Why do they go there?
The answer comes in all sorts of forms because there is no single classic pattern anymore. We used to think that it was purely the criminal, fairly unintelligent kind of character who had very little hope, very little purposeful activity in life, who was drawn to the combat in Syria. But in fact, as well as those who still exist in large numbers, you have the well-educated people who actually have good lives in front of them. You know, they might be planning to be doctors, dentists, pharmacists, and there's been a disturbing number of those people who have been drawn to the conflict.
And many of these individuals seem to be under some form of surveillance or known to authorities before they travel. So why is it so difficult to stop them?
It's the million-dollar question. Over and over again with the atrocities which occur in Europe, or which are foiled for that matter, we hear of individuals who were known to the authorities. The Kouachi brothers involved in the shooting at Charlie Hebdo were known to the American authorities, to the British authorities, to the Yemeni authorities, and of course had track record in France, and yet they were still able to move relatively freely, untroubled by the security forces. It's partly a function of how difficult it is to keep track on all the individuals who are known or suspected to be capable of passing from propaganda or militancy of thought into action. I saw a debate on French television in which a couple of very senior former intelligence people were saying that in order to carry out 24-hour seven-day-a-week surveillance of a suspect, you actually need at least 20 agents.
One of the challenges that some experts believe has changed in recent years is that the people that are becoming radicalized now might not be personally guided by another individual. They might instead be attracted by the image of being a religious militant or a religious fighter. How has that happened, and why is that image becoming attractive to some European Muslims?
Well, first of all, it is the internet which has changed the way in which young people become radicalized. There is so much available online for young people sitting in their bedroom, perhaps going to school normally during the day. We've seen case after case of these people who live almost double lives. Once they're online, they are easy prey for people with skilled propaganda techniques. And They can become radicalized in that way. It still happens that people are radicalized by other individuals. The young hoodlum who goes to jail at 18 or 19 may well find himself influenced by an older, more educated or at least self-educated militant in jail. And you also get peer group pressure at universities where some of the better educated people that I mentioned earlier are meeting other Muslim students who may guide them, influence them into a path that they perhaps wouldn't otherwise have taken. There is, of course, a separate issue, which is why, and you ask this question, why are they attracted? They are attracted partly by the skill of the propaganda exercise which targets them, but they are also there's also an element of bravado and people looking for excitement in life, and it's a bit of a gang mentality. You know, you've got to be in a gang, and some of these younger recruits are sucked into the whole idea that they're joining a quite exciting gang, which will change their lives in a way they could never have imagined. Sadly, when they get to the conflict zone, they're often disillusioned, but can't very often find the means to return to their countries of origin.
And of course, when they do return, as an estimated several hundred have returned to European countries, why is it so difficult for authorities to present enough evidence that would put them in jail?
Well, it is starting to happen. We've seen a number of cases in both France and Britain, but also Belgium and elsewhere, of returning individuals who have been tracked, have been pursued. One of the problems is that you actually need the trust of the community if you're going to make serious inroads into the problem, including the problem of what to do about the returning recruits. And sometimes we see very mixed messages, like a case in Birmingham recently where two young men were jailed for 12 years, which is a very stiff sentence in British terms, having been reported to the police by one of the parents, and the parents did this in good faith, but then felt cheated. You actually need people in the community to feel that they're being encouraged to help not only authority but their own offspring to get back onto the straight and narrow, if you like. And I'm afraid draconian sentences just do not seem to be the way forward.
Following the Paris attacks, how would you rate the performance of French President François Hollande? Do you think he's reacted well, or has the various intelligence failures that allow this attack to happen, do you think as they become more clear, could his right-wing rival Marine Le Pen see a boost in the polls?
The pattern we see after all major atrocities is that after the initial grief, the outpouring of emotion, kudos for the security forces, who in this case performed exceptionally well in both siege situations in France, that you then get the questions being asked. Well, Hollande, François Hollande, is a very weak president. He has approval ratings lower than any president in living memory in France. He looks a real lame duck. However, he has emerged from the earliest phases of the crisis with some admiration on the part of the French people. His ratings went up. That's maybe just a knee-jerk reaction to events. But there will be these questions, persistent questions, about what went wrong, why these individuals, known to other countries' security forces, known to the French security forces, intelligence agencies, did not do anything to impede their movements or be abreast of what the sort of atrocity they might be planning.
To read Colin's stories, visit thenational.ae/world and follow us on Twitter @thenationalrome.